Coming in like a guitar solo, ladies and gentlemen. Look in my eyes. What do you see? A total Spot Fest personality? That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We got a big, big show. Rampage, SummerSlam, Takeover, Emergence, and news. This is Total Spot Fest. One, two, three, four.
Hey, welcome to or welcome back to Total Spot Fest. I am JJ Brownlee, accompanied by Jamie Faulkner, and we have a whole lot of wrestling to get to today. This will be our second time through. Apologies for the delay. We had a few technical difficulties yesterday. And by we, I mean one of us. And by one of us, I do mean Jamie. Yes, he called himself out on Twitter for it. I wasn't going to do it, but... Yeah, so we had a few audio issues last night where it didn't exist. So yeah. It's hard to do a podcast when you don't have audio, right? So
yeah, it was bad.
Exactly. So our apologies for being delayed here. We got a lot to go over because there was a debut that we wanted to get to, and it was magical. It was unbelievable. Brock Lesnar is... No, I'm kidding.
No.
Just see your face there. But besides that, so we have Rampage. We had a mini Impact pay-per-view. They call it a pay-per-view, but it's just like a super show. I don't know. Whatever. It's odd how they do their pay-per-views. But we had an Impact thing we're going to talk about. As well, we have our belts. So for those of you who just... kind of picking up here, we have toy belts, and we do a pick challenge for big pay-per-views. So even though we don't really watch WWE, we still do like the big four from WWE because we have the belt, so you might as well, right?
Yeah.
We do AEW, of course, their big four. Impact's big three, four-ish, whatever. It varies from year to year. And as well, we do the big NXT takeovers. So this past weekend was SummerSlam and TakeOver 36. So we did picks. We're going to run through the results, let you guys know who is our champion. Hopefully we can wrestle one, if not two belts away from Megan the Belt Tyrant.
Belt collector. Daughter. She's the belt collector.
Sure.
And there's a So for the record, too, the WWE belt is not hers. That has been vacated by the Young
That's
Boy.
Correct.
So vacated.
Yeah, Young Boy had it. It's been vacated, so it's up for grabs. So can we prevent her from becoming Thanos? I don't know. I hope so. Because, yeah, she probably will snap my ass out of existence. But we will get to that in due time. I have an ongoing feud with a 15-year-old girl. Is she still 15?
She's 15. 15. Just turned 15. Just a little over a month 15. Ago. So, yeah.
She's not able to drive yet, but she does have that boyfriend, so... And I'm saying that because I know it's going to get under her skin. Okay, so we're going to start with a quick little note. So this coming Saturday is going to be a hot show, and I mean that in so many ways. But it is the Next Journey Pro Show, Weekend at Journeys. We are excited to be there. We were able to sell our tickets. A very nice couple got in touch with us, and we were able to get them sorted out last Friday. So that's awesome. I believe there's a few people that are kind of meandering about there that have tickets. I've seen a few people on Twitter mention it. So if you are still wanting tickets, they're sold out. So if you're wanting tickets for Journey Pro's show, it's going to be warm. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. But it's outside, so there should be a breeze. There's supposed to be some sort of, like, splash zone thing. I don't know
Let's
what that
go.
Means.
Yeah, there's a mystery. It's got my name written on it.
It's going to be fun no matter what. So if you are still wanting tickets, keep an eye on Twitter. Follow, you know, Journey Pro KC. Look at hashtags for Journey Pro and check them out on Facebook. I'm sure that there will be a couple out there. But if not... As we always say, please check out our friends Journey Pro on Twitch. You can watch the stream live. It is twitch.tv/Journey2Anarchy. They will show it on Independent Wrestling TV shortly thereafter the show premieres. I think they usually try to do it within a week or so. And then eventually it'll be replayed on their Twitch. But you can stream it the day of, during it, on Twitch. So, Journey Pro KC. And that's the good news. There is some bad news, Journey Pro related.
There is a little bad news, yes.
Yesterday afternoon, we did get word via social medias on them internets that Matt Seidel is not going to be able to make it for this Saturday. So don't know what it is, scheduling conflict, if it's a family emergency, sickness. No idea, not going to speculate. All I know is that, unfortunately, he's not going to be here. He put a good message out there. He definitely wants to come here. He plans on wrestling a Journey Pro at some point in time. Maybe he doesn't want to wrestle in the heat. Maybe that's it.
You know, I don't blame him. Because, you know. But
that could be it.
It's okay. I mean, the show's still going to be amazing with or without him. You know, we'll get to see him eventually in a Journey Pro ring. I'm not worried about it.
Yeah.
Still going to be an amazing show. Journey Pro treats everybody right. They do us good.
Absolutely.
It's
there's always
be fine.
Plan B. They slid in. They're going to have Mike Seidel's regular tag team partner, Luke Langley. Langley. God, me and names. I swear to God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Enlightenment.
The Enlightenment. I wanted to say the Ascension, and that wasn't right.
yeah, that's a little off.
I don't know. The Enlightenment. They're gonna they're gonna actually take on the besties. So in a way, it is a full tag team versus a full tag team. I know the brothers tag team on Dynamite, but it would have been nice. But it's still gonna be a very good match. It's still gonna be an excellent match, and the show's banger. I mean, there's a 15 person gauntlet match, for God's sake.
Yeah, so I mean, it's got some big names in there. Heidi Howitzer.
Ooh.
You know, it's got the one called Manders. Like, it's got some good ones in there. You know, some very
Gary J, Christian Rose. I mean,
if you
plus you got
who's who of Midwest Independent,
pretty much, and you've got other great matches scheduled as well. You got Jeremy Wyatt out there. He's not going to do a Lion Tamer, but
bullshit. He is going to do a Lion Tamer or Stallion Rogers, the artist formerly known as Lone Star, is going to do it for sure.
But you got him. You got Shug D versus Everett Connors. You got
Alan Angels 5. He's going
to
be wrestling.
Thank you. I was trying to think who's fighting. I can't remember who he's fighting.
It doesn't matter. It's 5. It's cool.
It's 5. So lots of good stuff still. We will give you guys a full wrap-up next week. Also, quick heads up, we are planning a little collaboration with our friends over at the Bruisers Breakdowns and Beards podcast. If you haven't checked them out, highly recommend it. They're good friends of ours, another Kansas City-based podcast. They have a YouTube. They do their stuff on all the same streaming services, any place you get your podcasts, you know, Spotify, Apple, the whole nine yards, right? So check them out. We're going to do a little collab with them after Week in a Journey. So we'll get some more updates on that in the near future. But be forewarned, that is going to be coming. And then, like I said, next Tuesday, and it will be Tuesday, I'm confident, mm-hmm. We will have our recap of Weekend at Journeys. So,
yes.
Let's talk about what happened this past weekend, because my God, there was a lot. JB, we'll start with the numbers from last week, if you got those handy.
Absolutely, I do. I really do. So
you like doing that bit, don't you? Like doing it like that.
100%, because it's from from my family's favorite movie of Pitch Perfect. I don't know why, it's a guilty pleasure of mine. I absolutely love that movie, but whatever.
I mean, you're a girl dad. Come on, you've seen Pitch Perfect a couple hundred times. It's okay.
And it's really good. What the hell's a ripoff? Anyway, so let's go down the line. Three of them were up. Three of them were down. Raw was one of the ones that was up. They were previously at 1.790. They went up to 1.857. And actually, since we did this late, their latest one is they were over 2 million. The first time that they were this high since the Legends Night in January.
Oh, wow.
Just wanted to throw that one out there. I'll give you the official numbers when they come in. But it was over 2 million. But yes.
So the 1.8 was the overnight?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, 1.857 is what they had the previous week. And then this one that just happened 2 days ago.
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay, I got you.
It's 2 mil. Yeah, it's 2 mil.
Last week. I got you.
Because I'm a week behind, because usually we do this while Raw just
happened. Post SummerSlam was over 2 million for the first time since Legends Night.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, sure.
NXT dropped almost 100,000 people. Ooh. They were at 751. They dropped down to 654. Damn.
I feel like the crowd who watches NXT is a little more astute to the internet wrestling community and knows that changes are coming and is jumping ship already.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
Don't blame them either, because damn,
I know you're one of those. Yep. You know,
I've said very loud and proud, if Adam Cole goes, so do I.
Put a pin in that. We'll be back.
So then we have AEW. AEW dropped 4,000 people for Dynamite. So it was 979. That's statistically down to insignificant. It's minuscule. It's peanuts.
Statistically insignificant.
Yep.
In my opinion.
In their demos, they were still really high, so they were fine. Impact was up. They were up 4,000 people, so the people who didn't watch Dynamite watched Impact.
Hey.
So
I'll keep Impact steady, at least. I don't know if you saw this or not, but not to derail this here, but I saw a story that apparently Lynn Asper is the, what is he? He's the president of Anthem Entertainment. Is that right? CEO of Anthem Entertainment. Anthem is who owns Impact Wrestling. He tweeted out on yesterday, midday, actually not yesterday, it was Monday, that talking about Impact Wrestling launching new channels of streaming services, you know, the whole like thing they're doing on their YouTube, you know, the subscription thing, whatever. Yeah. And quote, big new distribution deal coming soon.
So
that's it. That's all he said.
Not on Access. So that'd be great.
I'm hoping that's what it meant. He said, getting pumped things. Getting pumped. Thank you for watching in insanely increasing numbers. So hopefully, so it sounds like the streaming bit is actually doing really well for them. Thank God. But yeah, hopefully not on Access. So anyway, I wanted to just throw that at you because
That's huge. That's nice.
I mean, it's something.
So Impact was 126. They were previously 122, so they're up 4.
Right.
SmackDown was down, but they were still over the 2 million mark. So they were down. Originally, they were 2.499. They were down to 2.237. So that is a fairly significant drop.
It's 100,000 plus, give or take.
Yeah, and Fridays, as we know, not exactly an easy draw, right?
As far as TV networks are concerned, it's their dog of the week.
Yeah, and one would say, you know, because SmackDown is on the 7 to 9 in Central or 8 to 10.
8 to 10 Eastern.
8 to 10 Eastern. That's prime time, right? Anything after that, pulling big numbers would be crazy. It'd be insane, right?
It would. I see where you're going. Let's do it.
So, Rampage... My phone, evidently Siri thought I had to ask her a question.
So Siri wanted to give you numbers on Rampage.
Yes. Rampage damn near doubled what it did. So its very first inaugural show, it did 740,000 for 1 hour at 10 p.m. Eastern. Like, that was pretty good.
That was impressive in and of itself.
That was very impressive.
God.
This one did.
Cable.
1.129 million people.
Oh, God. I mean, that is...
like...
We don't... It was because of CM Punk. Yes, absolutely. But still.
Yes.
Wow.
1.129. That's a huge... like, it outdid Dynamite.
It's outdone the last several Dynamites. Even when they were 1.1... 1.2, that's glorious. I'm interested to see what they do tonight.
I am too, because, I mean...
those numbers are going to be very interesting.
Already confirmed CM Punk will be there. Chris Jericho is going to have a segment as well, probably saying a farewell speech type thing, I assume.
Right, Malachi Black's going to be in action. He's going to murder Arn Anderson's son.
10-second match, guaranteed.
You've got...
3-minute entrance... 15-second match.
bang, just knock it out. Yeah. Old school taker. The second half of the qualifier tournament with Lucha Brothers and Varsity Blonde. It's going to be a good show. Mm-hmm. So, but CM Punk's going to be there, which is, let's be honest, he's their draw.
Yeah, because that's what everybody wants to
see.
That happened on Friday.
If you're living under a rock, surprise, CM Punk's back, guys.
Yeah. Well, way to steal the thunder for Rampage, because it was a CM Punk show.
Well, you already stole it. You said it was going to be...
I know.
Whatever. I was worst kept secret in wrestling.
I was trying to divert people with Will Ospreay when, obviously, the easy and most undeniable answer is give you CM Punk showing up in Chicago.
I mean, like, there was never a secondary choice.
Yeah, I was fantasy booking at that point. Like, oh, yeah, sure. Let's go. So, anyway, let's get to Rampage. Let's just get to Rampage.
Do it. Let's do this.
So, Rampage opens up. Music, you know, the intro happens, and then the crowd's just, CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk, and then Cult of Personality just hits. Bam! People lose their everlasting minds. You can barely hear the music because the pop was so deafening in that place. Over 15,000 people sold out the United Center in 10 minutes, by the way. And it was deafening. And then when he even came out, deafening again. He had tears in his eyes. It was just amazing. Like,
fans were tearing up. People were losing their damn mind. It was insane.
Yeah, like, he walks out. he hugs some guy on the side. He crowd surfs on the other side. He jumps in. He hugs another guy. Awesome. Hugs, like, a whole family. And then he gets in there. And then he cuts a CM Punk promo.
Stellar. Stellar promo.
And there's a few pieces, because we could just talk about this damn promo for literally 2 hours. But I want to call out a couple just small highlights, because I've watched it 7 times. I know you said you've watched it.
I've watched it an easy dozen so far. So yeah.
I watched it 7 on purpose for every year that he's been gone.
Oh, how poignant of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Because he is... I loved him in WWE... You know, when he was in that pipe bomb era, that was his best. Before that, he was okay. Like, the Nexus thing was okay.
It was not okay.
You know,
I'll talk about it in a second. Let's talk about it first.
So he comes out, the very first thing, the first word CM Punk utters after being gone for 7 years is, you know how to make a kid feel like Britt Baker in Pittsburgh.
I mean, that is not what I would have guessed from CM Punk.
He put Britt Baker over just like that.
Unbelievable.
Unprovoked. And he even said, this is not scripted. I didn't even come out here with one thing to say. Anything like that. Obviously, he had one thing or two things, because they'll come up.
Yeah, a couple little things.
But, you know, he threw some shade at WWE in a very nice way, even though... The dinosaur that Booker, is Booker T Booker thought that T. it was terrible, fucking which idiot. I'm over Booker T right now. He's got the worst takes.
He is so out of touch, sucking at the teat. Remember, this is a Booker T, guys, that when he went to TNA, you know, he first appeared in TNA, and his first night cut a vicious promo against WWE and then promoted his book. That was his first entrance at TNA. And here he is saying, come on, Booker T. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Whatever.
Bruce Pritchard Jr. He's wanting to be there. So anyway, like, Punk cuts this great promo. It was just everything I wanted. He talked about the big thing I want to talk about. He said on April 13th, 2005... he left professional wrestling, because that's when he left Ring of Honor. He talked about his last matches in Ring of Honor and how he made it a place where people wanted to be and made money there and made it into what it was then. It was Impact level, you know, before it was like Impact level before, or then TNA came in and TNA took it, but it was a very high level. And he left, you know, and he says then he left, and then he... And he's sorry if he offended anybody when he left, but he wasn't going to get better there because, you know, he would never
heal.
He couldn't get.
Yeah, sorry.
He couldn't heal emotionally, physically, or spiritually. Mentally, or spiritually. Staying in the place that got him sick in the to begin with.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, I was just like.
It's been a couple days. We did this last night, so yeah, we're our second run through.
Yeah. Now, so anyway, so that he does that. So, but he talks about how he left wrestling August 13th, 2005. And then on August 20th, 2021, right. He's returned to professional wrestling. And that is a straight slap in the face as well, because he hated the fact that WWE always called it sports entertainment. During his pipe bomb era, he was all over that too. He's like, I'm a professional wrestler. Like, he kept saying it over and over, I'm not a superstar. You know, it was
why it's blacklisted, to be honest with you, in WWE.
Yeah. He also, at one point, just rewind, he had a hoodie on that said Larry on it, which I thought was great. He took it off and he debuted his new shirt. And it's a shirt that was there. It says, I was there, United Center, everything. People went nuts for it. That shirt is now the number one selling shirt in Pro Wrestling Tees history. So amazingly selling, it crashed their site. I tried to go on that night and buy it. Couldn't, because it crashed.
Right.
I went on the next morning. It was crashed. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a couple days. And I ended up ordering mine on Monday.
So, yeah, they'll print more. It's okay.
Yes. Yeah. So he talked about in here, you know, just a few things of, you know, he's here for the talent and scores to settle. And he calls out Darby Allin, who's up in the rafters with Sting. And he says, you're tough, you know, and everything. And people think you're crazy. And, you know, you're dangerous, you know, and there's nothing more dangerous than facing CM Punk in a wrestling ring, except for facing CM Punk in a wrestling ring in Chicago. And then
at All Out,
we have Darby Allin versus CM Punk in his first match back in 7 years. And JJ, who's going to be there?
I think you and I are going to be there.
That's right. That's us. That's us.
We're going.
Yep.
Sorry, guys. Sorry for those of you listening who don't have tickets. I'm sorry.
No, we're not. I'm just so glad we decided. We're really not, we pulled the trigger, and I'm so happy that we pulled that trigger.
I mean, this is the biggest wrestling show that I've ever been to. I've never been to a pay-per-view, so it's going to be great.
I've been to two. The first one I went
both to. Both in Kansas City.
Both in Kansas City. The first one somebody died at.
I was going to say, one of them was not a good experience.
No. The second one was the Money in the Bank. So.
Sure.
There you go. All right. So that was the promo. And, like, we could break it down more, but it was everything I wanted, then some.
Okay. I want to say just a couple things about it.
Okay.
So. I have waxed poetically a lot in the past about, you know, my feelings about CM Punk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just to clarify, I don't hate CM Punk. I loved him in Ring of Honor. Him and Samoa Joe, I fight tooth and nail. And I said this before, that's one of the best feuds I think has existed in my watching of wrestling in my life. It was fantastic group of matches. I didn't like him when he debuted in WWE. It wasn't good. I didn't like the whole super straight edge society thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, and then I stopped watching WWE. I got really into TNA. TNA came up. Joe showed up there. Coincidentally, as soon as Joe showed up, I pretty much switched and just watched TNA pretty much exclusively. Mm-hmm. So I missed a lot of the pipe bomb era because I wasn't watching WWE. I was being very much a triannual or quadannual fan. I'd watch, you know, I'd tune in at the big pay-per-view, right? Then tune out for the 3 months. Then I'd kind of check in. So I heard of, you know, his whole thing, but I never really watched it until years later, right? You know? Mm-hmm. I didn't care. I didn't care about him because I didn't care about WWE at the time. I didn't really even see the beginning rise of Cena because of that. That's why I don't have the disdain for Cena that some people do. Because
like me.
I didn't... Like you. And the young boy is really, you know. Oh. But I never saw him get the silver spoon. I just came in and he had it already. And I was like, okay, whatever. It's the guy. And so that's my whole point. Now, that being said, I don't, like, not understand the draw to CM Punk. I do. I do really like him because he basically in this thing retconned his whole WWE run.
Yeah, like it didn't exist.
He got me at that point. Like I'm in. Then I am definitely in. And he was a different CM Punk than he has been for the past 7 years. Mm-hmm. So the whole like teasing and bullshit and all this stuff. He seemed humble. He seemed gracious. He seemed thankful, you know, and open, which I'm all for. And no matter what you felt about him personally, that was a moment to watch. That's why I watched it so many times, because it was one of the, it felt like, I mean, everybody, you see my tattoo as a big Blues fan. When the Blues won the cup, I mean, we were up by 3 goals in the final, you know, final period. We were winning the cup, and it felt like that because it started off with the show, and they panned back to give you the full stadium view from like straight back from where the ramp is, and there's nobody in the ring. You know, they did a quick little thing with the guys at the announce table, but there's nothing else. It was going to happen. That's what's going on. And the energy in that arena felt like that when the Blues won the cup, or when the Royals finally closed out their championship in 15, or when the Cubs won in 17. It felt like that. Like, you know it's happening, and you're just waiting for it to happen. And it's, so it's that different than that surprise, that out of nowhere, what the shit is this, you know? Worst kept secret in wrestling, we said, you know, but and then his music is not, it's a little bit tweaked from the actual album version of Cult of Personality. Cult of Personality actually has like a little snippet in front of the actually starting it, but there, so they cut that off, and there's like a little static clip for like a split second that happens, right? And so They're chanting, and then the static hits, and it felt like slow motion, because you could just, like, everyone's just like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and it's just people lost their shit, and it was amazing to see. It was a seminal moment, almost.
Yeah, so. I got chills. It was very surreal. Like, I can't believe I'm seeing CM Punk on TV right now. It felt great. He said all the right things. He's been backing it up. He's been very supportive of the young talent, wanting to put them over. And I think with his ability to talk and his wrestling prowess, you know who will benefit from him is those younger guys, like a Darby Allin, like an MJF, like a Jungle Boy. Oh, my goodness.
Right. Hell, as long as he follows through with it, but there's no indication he won't. But, you know.
Sammy Guevara, same thing. Like, I mean, think about this. Sammy Guevara and MJF.
Sammy Guevara's going to get so much from him.
Yeah, but Sammy Guevara and MJF just alone have worked a ton with Jericho already.
Yep.
And they get the chance to work with CM Punk. Like, two of the best talkers of all time. Like, if you had to say the top five talkers, both of them are in the top five.
Right. Plus, they get the benefit of working with one of the best kind of creative minds in Hardy, and one of the best, you know, like production minds in Christian Cage. Because I read a thing about Christian shortly after he signed on about what all the matches that he helped kind of like write, and it's astonishing. Most of Edge's matches in WWE when they were both in there, they were all written by Christian. Or like he had a part in it, and everybody to a man says, "I want him producing my match." So they get the wealth of knowledge that is Jericho. They get this from CM Punk. They get the creativity, and that's the point in this. Plus, you bring in other guys who have other bits of experience. Yeah,
the
big
the storytelling
guy,
of Sting. The storytelling of Sting. You have all these guys, and like,
if you're a big guy, you got Paul White to bounce stuff off of. Yeah, you know, it's
and Mark
like,
Henry,
and Mark. I forgot about fucking Henry. Yeah,
like, so they're bringing in the right guys to bring up the young talent, because all these people who bitch about, you know, all these WWE years, you're like
WWE leftovers.
Yeah. Well, okay, so their number one champion is not from WWE ever. Their tag team champions, not from WWE. Their women's champion, not from WWE. Their TNT champion was wasted on WWE, and he has flourished here. But most of their big stars, their biggest stars, MJF and all these other guys, most of them are not WWEers. So,
except for Moxley, but That's a different thing. You're right. You're 100% right. And you know, it's a different world. It's a different world. It's basically, you know, I think that, you know, I think the feud between AEW and WWE, it was fun for a hot minute, but it really is two completely different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing more evident than that when you try to have a discussion with somebody and they're just like, you know, just nonsensically hating on one or the other.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, just give it up. Like you don't like WWE's product, but you will sit there and talk about Ricochet and Cedric Alexander and Bianca Belair and Io Shirai and those good talents who are there, and but they're being squandered. But then you're not like, you know, fuck them, they're terrible. Everyone there sucks. You know, it's like, all right, back, just stop it. You know, so that's my whole argument. I'm not getting on that soapbox though. So let's talk about the rest of Rampage.
Oh yeah, there is. The it rest was of amazing, Rampage, wasn't there?
There's the rest of Rampage. You will go through it. I'll be honest with you. It felt like two shows. It felt like the CM Punk return show, and then it felt like a wrestling show. Sorry,
a very abridged like wrestling show, by the way.
Very abridged, with one good match and a couple others just there.
So after this, we had the first match of the AEW World Tag Team Championship Eliminator Tournament.
Too long a title.
I know. I know. It's Private Party with the Hardy Family Office with Matt Hardy versus Jurassic Express. And it was good. So the winner of this automatically goes to the finals on next week's Rampage, which is somewhere.
Milwaukee.
Is it in Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, my birth town.
Nice. All right. So this match was really good. It was actually really, really,
this,
really
this was the good,
good
match. This was amazing.
Private Party.
This is the way you follow. It takes a lot to follow CM Punk, right? So you had to put a good match out there.
Yeah, because Private Party is amazing.
Oh, they are so good.
Jurassic Express is amazing. As we all know, like, we're high on Jungle Boy, and he looks just like his damn father. It's scary.
That's kind of how it goes.
Kind of how it works sometimes. Okay, so this match, very good. Jurassic Express wins by, you know, hitting the Thoracic Express, which I think it's one of the sickest moves I've ever seen.
Although Private Party did hit a Canadian Destroyer on Jungle Boy off of Luchasaurus's shoulder,
which was amazing.
There was that.
Yes. So they have advanced. They will be in the finals against the winner of the Varsity Blondes and Lucha Bros, Cerro Miedo, let's go. There are our picks, and the winner of the winner of the tournament faces the Bucks at All Out in a steel cage. Give me Lucha
Bring
Bros.
It.
Let's go.
I mean, that's really completes their trilogy of just stupid ass matches. You know, mm-hmm. after they really haven't done anything crazy since Escalada de la Muerte. So
yeah.
All right.
So after that, we have a real quick Omega Don Callis promo about, you know, losing the title and Christian Cage, whatever. It was fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Jay Cargill versus Kira Hogan. This match pissed me off, actually. I'm not even going to lie. It made me mad because they wasted Kira Hogan because this is 1,000% a squash match. This match did not need to happen. It still happened. Jay Cargill just absolutely dominated her. It just was a waste of such a good talent. But, you know, I get trying to make Jade look strong, but she's not there yet, but whatever.
And if you, I don't know, and it's like, Kira Hogan doesn't need to prove herself. I mean, she's been around in this industry long enough on a high enough level that she's a draw. So to have her come out without any, you know, be in the ring waiting and it just, I don't know. It felt almost like a tryout kind of like, hey, go out there and squash for her. We need you to do that. You know, whatever, though.
Yeah.
I don't want to dwell on it. It pissed me off, too. So we'll see what happens with that.
So after that, we get the, I guess this is a thing that they're going to be doing on Rampage where Mark Henry interviews the main eventers before the main event.
Oh, it's not good. It's not good.
It was not good. I mean, the highlight of it was Moxley saying that Garcia's got a better chance of getting him pregnant than beating him in the ring, which that was the highlight of that. Anyway.
Yeah.
So then you get to the match. The match actually is pretty good. Garcia's pretty good.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah. But amazingly, again, Moxley gets the W by doing this sick guillotine choke on him. It looked great. So your winner is Jon Moxley. And if you didn't know that, you are an idiot. After that,
he wasn't dropping to Danny Garcia.
After that, 2.0 came in there, started attacking him and Eddie Kingston. And out comes Sting and Darby Allin to make the save. All the faces in the middle of the ring hugging it out. ends great. One last thing I did forget to say about CM Punk.
Go ahead, do it.
On his way out, he says, "Oh yeah, everybody gets an ice cream bar on me." And
which I didn't get it first. I had to look it up because, like I said, I wasn't around.
Yeah, that's the WWE ice cream bar thing. Like, you know, why am I not on an ice cream bar? We need to bring the ice cream bars back. But anyway, so everybody, and they're legit CM Punk packaged ice cream bars from a local place. Yeah, you got the details.
I read that apparently this has been in the works for 2 years.
That's insane.
That he had planned this. He was going to do this whenever he came back. He wanted to do the whole ice cream thing for everybody in the arena, for whomever it was. So that's long-term booking there. CM Punk is like planning the ice cream bars before he makes a decision about coming back to the ring. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, all right. He will be on Dynamite. We're going to talk about, he'll be on Dynamite tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow. So there's going to be more going on there. We're not going to dwell on AEW too much because, like I said, we're going to talk about it in about 24 hours. So
Yeah. Let's
talk about the other bits that were going on this weekend. So before we get to our pick belt championship, the Terminator pay-per-views, I don't know where I'm going with that. There was an Impact show on Friday. So as well as many pay-per-views, they're actually not, I like them because you get about 3 hours of decent, of good wrestling for the most part for like $10, right? Easy peasy. Like it nice and crispy. So merges happened Friday. It actually happened technically before. They started at 6 p.m. so that it'd be done by the time. They're not dummies. And I still have the tinfoil hat. I still think there's more involved with Tony Khan and Impact. I'm just saying. I think there's something, but we'll see. So the card, I'm just going to read through and tell you what happened with it. So you had Matt Cardona beat Rohit Raju to start. They have a little feud going on because Rohit threw something and hit Chelsea Green and, you know, whatever. So yeah, that was a good opener. And then you go into an 8-person tag match. You have Decay, all four members of Decay, versus Tasha Steele, Savannah Evans, who is her Kiera Hogan replacement, a bigger, stronger Kiera Hogan, basically.
Yeah.
I hate to lump her in like that, but that's how it is. Also with No Way and Fala Ba, who is my spirit animal. Fala Ba versus Rosemary is not the feud that I would have guessed that I wanted in my life, but God damn it, I need more of it. It's great. They did a zombie bite on him at one point. He got in the corner and like her and Havoc and somebody else, I think it was Taurus, they all like, oh no, it was Crazy Steve, they all like bite into him and stuff, and it's fantastic. Decay ended up getting the win on that. Then you had Steve Backlund wrestle an actual non-squash match for the first time in Impact.
Wow, that's new.
I know. Him and Petey Williams taking their rivalry up. Macklin got the win. It was all Petey to start with and kind of 50. And then the last half was just Macklin just demolishing him. So they're setting him up for a bigger feud. I think they're just trying to like buy time until they can slide him in on a some sort of picture somewhere down the road. So it was fine. You know, it's good. It's good to build him up. Next, you had a women's match. You had Taylor Wilde versus Madison Rain. And you heard me right. It's not 2013, but that was the match. Madison Rain had debuted a couple weeks ago, you know, came back to help out Tennille Dashwood and Caleb with a K. They call themselves something. I think it's like the Influence is what they're calling the three of them now, which is I'm okay with.
You're behind it.
You know, there was some rust on that. Madison Rain retired a year ago, like again, like supposedly for good, but definitely not, of course. So
it's never
there's
forever.
That. And Taylor Wilde, she was off for a couple months. I don't know if there was a visa issue or she got stuck COVID. I don't know, but she was off suddenly for like 2 months, right? Right when she made her big return. And we both assumed that she was going to end up going against Deonna Purrazzo. Well, then she was off, and she's just seemed off since he's been back. I don't know what it is. It's not necessarily like ring rust. It's just kind of like it's just something just looks disjointed there. So this was kind of a herky jerky match a little bit. Not a botch, you know, any fest or anything, but mm-hmm. it was just kind of off. Mass and Rain did get the win. Of course, she had help, right, with the influence. And I hope that I'm saying that right. I might be saying the wrong word altogether. Who knows? Next, you had a number one contender four-way match. You had Moose, Ace Austin, Sammy Callahan, and Chris Sabin. Winner would be the next one to get a shot at the Impact World title. Just the Impact World title. The following week, or the night before, on Impact, Christian Cage made an appearance, and he respectfully retired the TNA belt. So no longer is it merged. They retconned it because Moose found it. It's the whole storyline more than anything else. But yeah. Officially retired it, so just a singular belt. This was a very entertaining match, as you can expect with these four. These are the four of the top guys, right? But Ace Austin ended up getting the win. A little surprising there. So everybody assumed it's going to be Sammy, but you know you can't have Sammy Callahan continuously. That reminds me of like something that WWE would do when I did eventually go back to watching it. You know, they had Cena versus Angle. That was their feud. Mm-hmm. And that was every pay-per-view for like a year and a half was Cena versus Angle, Cena versus Angle, Cena versus Angle. So I appreciate they're not going down that path. Ace Austin's next one to get a title shot. Then you had my match of the night. This match was something. It involved Jake something. And he went up against Josh Alexander for the X Division title. And oh my God.
Such a good match.
This was so good. Like, do you remember how Kurt Angle, speaking of which, used to do the whole Three Amigos, but with German suplexes?
Yeah, oh yeah.
So Alexander did a tribute to that. But he didn't do three. He didn't do four. He did 10 German suplexes in a row on Jake something. On Jake something, who is a big boy. And it was like, he's still going. Good God, he's still going. It was insane. It was crazy. I love me some Josh Alexander.
Same.
Which, by the way, his wife did a live stream. I want to say yesterday. I don't remember. But he did a live stream. They were at a Blue Jays game. So it was him and his wife, Jamie Chung, with Scott D'Amore and another like top exec from Impact or whatever. And during the live stream, Scott D'Amore just kind of like butts himself in and says Buddy Murphy debuting this week on Impact, and then he made a play on words. Bound for Glory is their next like big pay-per-view, right? That's in October.
Yeah,
he called it Brawn for Glory. So Scott D'Amore is probably trolling. I heard Tony Nese is supposed to be he might be debuting though this week, but Buddy Murphy, that I mean, We'll see. We don't know. He's had those whole, I don't know what his new name is. I can't remember. But he has those run of videos. Remember, he's been doing those videos that he was in prison and getting out. And you know, it's very similar. It's like Ruby Soho had another one she released yesterday where she stole a car. Hey, Ruby. And she was, you didn't think I was going to miss, man. But she stole a car and she's like, you know. So anyway, so I'm not exactly sure what his videos go along. I heard. Now I'm fancy booking. But I heard that the same person who produced his videos, the same person who also produced or helped produce Malakai Black's videos.
So
I was hoping for him being part of the House of Black, right?
Hell, I take Ruby Soho as a part of the House of Black.
And I was just going there because she's been doing these video vignettes too. Have her be a part of the House of Black, right?
Actually, Abaddon would fit in beautifully there.
Abaddon would fit in thematically better, but I don't know. I think we'll see what happens. We're getting close to the expiration of a lot of no competes. So we're seeing Ruby somewhere. Hey, Ruby. We're going to see Buddy or whatever he's going by now somewhere soon, you know, and others that are out there. The Iconics have said that, you know, they're weighing their options, that apparently they're working through the visa bit, that if they, but there is. There's going to be some debuts before the end of the year, definitely in the next couple months. So keep a hold of that and put a pin in that because I'm going to talk about that later. Your next match was a mixed tag match. You had Deonna Purrazzo and Matthew Renwalt, the Drama King, versus Melina and Trey Miguel. Melina returned last week on Impact for the first time. She's challenging Deonna at NWA's Empower, which is happening this Saturday night in St. Louis. Tickets still available for that. No tickets for Journey Pro, but you got tickets for NWA Empower in St. Louis. The card is actually pretty stacked for that. I want to take just a second to give you the cards, because you got Melina versus Deonna Purrazzo for the Impact Knockouts Championship, right? Then you got Camille. God damn it, JJ. Learn how to pronounce things. Camille, the NWA Women's World Champion, putting the belt up against legit Layla Hirsch. That should be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You have, they're doing a women's tag team title tournament. So there's going to be two, like, initial matches, and then followed by, later on in the night, the championship match. It's kind of what they did for Homecoming Impact did. So the first match is the Free Babies, or the Free Babes, play on Free Birds, because there's three of them. It's Miranda Gordy, Hollywood Haley Jay, and Jazzy Yang versus AEW's own Kylan King and Red Velvet, straight from Yo Mama's Kitchen.
Nice.
They teamed together in Dark several times, actually. Yeah. You know, in this whole pandemic era, they're actually really close friends, so that should be interesting. The second of these tag team title tournament matches is Hell on Heels. I can't even read. Enough with the puns, okay? Okay, ladies, we don't need punny names. You really don't. It's 2021. But Hell on Heels, Renee Michelle and Sahara 7 versus The Hex, which is my choice, Marty Bell and Allison Kay.
Let's go. Love both of them.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They're both great, and we love us some Marty Bell, of course. We've seen her a ton. NWL, Journey Pro, fantastic. Those two, the winners of those two matches meet later on for the actual title, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a Battle of the Brands match, which is going to be Triple A's Chica Tormenta versus AEW's Diamante. So good on Diamante versus NWA's Smiling Kylie Rae.
Nice.
Who is no longer the Warrior Wrestling Women's Champion. She lost that this past weekend to Thunder Rosa. They finally had that match. So
yes.
Then the main event is the inaugural NWA Invitational Cup. It's a 10-woman gauntlet match is what it is. And the winner gets a shot at whoever comes out as TNA Women's Champion the following night at NWA 73. That's their big their anniversary pay-per-view, also in St. Louis, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have beginning at number one is Lady Frost. Oh, that's a bad draw for Frosted Mini Kicks. But love us some Lady Frost.
Yes, we do.
And then in no particular order after that, you have Tootie Lynn, Chelsea Green, Jamie Senegal, Debbie Malenko, Bianca Carelli, Genocide, one of your favorites.
She is.
Thunder Kitty, Masha Slamovich, who I have a link I'm going to send you of an intergender match she did last weekend that is amazeballs. And then finally, Kiera Hogan. So.
Hmm. Genocide's my pick, but it seems like Chelsea Green seems like she's the Genocide, though. I think it's Genocide.
It kind of depends on who enters where. That's my thing. If Chelsea Green's being saved for last, yeah, it's going to be Chelsea Green. So we'll see what happens. I might order the pay-per-view because we'll probably be back from Journey, back home from Journey Pro, you know, early evening, you know, I'm thinking. So
yeah, what time does that show start? 7?
I think it starts at 7, if I'm not mistaken.
On Fight?
I don't have a time on here. It's going to be on Fight TV. I did see it on Fight TV already, yeah. Oh, by the way, there's going to be appearances by Kinsey Page, Sky Blue, who can't wrestle in the state of Missouri, Christy Janes, and others, whoever that may be. And Velvet Sky is going to be on commentary. So,
nice.
I'm kind of thinking, I don't know, we'll see. You know, I mean, she's in Ring of Honor, but it'd be cool with Velvet Sky on commentary. You had an appearance by
Angelina Love.
Yeah. You know, but anywho, so that's the Saturday. So for back to Impact, Deonna Purrazzo and Matthew Renwald, they end up winning their intergender match or their mixed tag match. So boom, got that. Then you had Violent by Design versus Willie Mack and Rich Swann versus Good Brothers Triple Threat for the tag team championships, and Good Brothers retained. Really only noticeable, I mean, this match was fine, but the really notable thing was after the match, you had Eric Young verbally accosting Rhino, who took the pinfall, creating a little dissension in the ranks.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is, you know. you know, I think, whatever. I'm not in love with the Good Brothers, you know, retaining the titles as much, you know. I don't know. It's like, I think it's because we see so much of them. They need to.
It's too much of them.
Pick a show and stay on it. I mean, not just, they're on in Japan, they're New Japan as well. So they're in New Japan, they're in AEW, they're in Impact, they're technically part, it's a lot of Good Brothers. No offense, so. Main event was Brian Myers, newly crowned number one contender, versus Christian Cage, the Impact World Champion. Christian Cage ended up defending in a pretty decent match to end the show. So
nice.
He's going to be facing Ace Austin at Victory Road, which is their next, it's kind of a bigger pay-per-view, but their next pay-per-view sometime in September. So that was Impact. And I just double check in here. Yeah, I got all my little notes about Impact. So let's move on to what really matters. And that's determining who our paper champions are, right? I call it because it's like, you know, whatever. We have our picks that we have done previously before the weekend started for SummerSlam and for TakeOver. We're going to start with SummerSlam. Now, you will see up above us, between us here, is going to be our little tally counter. So I'm going to go ahead and let you know what the pick was when we get to each match, who won that, and there are tiebreakers involved. So the full disclosure, for SummerSlam, we chose the tiebreaker of, they're both time-based time takeovers. We learned our lesson, okay? So, for SummerSlam, it was the Lashley-Goldberg match, because we all figured it was going to be a short one. It is comical to me to do that.
Yeah.
And boy, did we guess low on that, too. It was, like, the max guess was 6 minutes and 2 seconds. For TakeOver, we chose a longer match, which we picked. I'll get to that when we talk about TakeOver. So, SummerSlam had a lot of matches, so I'm not going to spend a ton of time talking about any of these, but let's get into it. So, pay-per-view records, as you see up there, JJ still got the goose egg. Hopefully he can come through. And this is the one belt Megan doesn't have yet. So,
that's true.
What's going to happen? Well, we start off AJ Styles and Omos, the defending Raw Tag Team Champions, putting them belts up against your favorite, my favorite, RK-Bro. Now, bro. Jimmy and myself, bro. Jamie and myself both picked RK-Bro. Megan chose Styles and Omos to retain. And we were right, Jamie, because RK-Bro did, in fact, get those titles. So, first title change of the night. You had a lot of title changes just shadowing here in your picks.
I sure did.
By the way.
I sure did.
Oh, there's a reasoning behind it, apparently. Okay. Well, anyway, one for Jamie, one for me. Big fat goose egg for Megan. So next match was Alexa Bliss versus Eva Marie in what I actually went back and watched. And it was a snoozer of a match.
It was terrible.
Oh, my God. It was like 3 minutes of just, oh, God, make it stopness. Eva Marie is so bad. She's so terrible. We all picked Alexa Bliss to win. And we were all right. So she did. I really want to see her feud with Nikki A.S.H. Like, somebody fancy booked that on Twitter. I told you about that, where, you know, Nikki's goal is to get back old Alexa, right? And she does. She finally gets the Alexa, which we know and love, right? The, you know, Twisted Bliss, you know. But it costs her sanity, and she turns into her old NXT character for Nikki. That's the best of both worlds. It'll never happen, but I'd love to see it.
Same. Same. It'd be awesome.
All right, so we got a 2-2-1 for our count right now. Next was the U.S. Championship. This was Sheamus versus who's the champion versus who I didn't realize he was still champion, defending against Damian Priest. And Jamie, myself, we both picked Damian Priest. Megan picked Sheamus.
Yeah.
And we were right again. Damian Priest, your second title change of the night. So right now we're at 3-3-1, and it's a very dubious moment for us because, moving forward, myself and Megan differed on one match pick as we go along. You and me differed on several, but me and Megan differed on one. So at worst, I would be one win up on her at all times. Meaning, Megan has been eliminated. Justice.
It happens.
No,
happens to
no
the best.
No clean sweep. No clean sweep for Megan and her belts. The next match was the Usos versus the Mysterios. I think we both spelled Mysterios wrong. I don't know. You picked the Mysterios to get them titles. Megan and myself picked the Usos to retain. And they did. It's not so shocking.
I'm so surprised. I am so surprised.
This is where I started to get suspicious of Jamie. I was like, hold on a second here. I'm going to let him explain himself after we finish here. I'm going to let him explain himself, especially when you get to the end of this card. So the next match was Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks. But wait, Sasha Banks was not there, which is interesting because Jamie picked Sasha Banks. Both me and Megan picked Bianca to retain. And they immediately came out and said that she wasn't going to be there, whatever the reasoning is, right? And then they had Carmella was going to get the title shot. So Carmella comes out. And then Becky Lynch's music hits, and she comes out, beats up Carmella, and asks for the title shot, and is granted it. So it's Bianca Belair defending the SmackDown Women's Championship against Becky Lynch. So at this point, I was like, all right, if you told me there was Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair, I'd know who I would have picked, right? You know, we picked not knowing the match, and I didn't feel that was fair. So I didn't count this in our picks, our results, if you would. Spoiler alert, it doesn't matter even if I did. Okay.
Yeah.
Just so you're aware. This match pissed the shit out of me. First of all, they squandered the whole Becky Lynch character. It was a natural dig with her like blood feud with Charlotte the Man. It's become a marketing gimmick that drives me up the wall. And this match lasted 26.4 seconds. There was a fake handshake led to a lariat, and then a rock bottom-ish thing that Becky did, 1-2-3 pin. Bianca Belair got Kofi'd at SummerSlam. And by Becky Lynch, who's now going to be a top heel on SmackDown. And I read that this is 100% Vince McMahon's idea.
No, it's 100% Becky's idea. She said,
nope.
Oh.
Nope. I've read by Sean Ross over at Fightful Select came out yesterday morning and said, it is not Becky's plan. It was 100%. She was supposed to return in October, first of all, was her plan. They moved it up because of whatever was going on with Sasha and that she would get a big pop. And it was 100% Vince McMahon. Nobody else's, but Vince McMahon's idea to make her a top heel. I was going off that because that's what everybody had said. You said that, you know, when we recorded yesterday. And then today I saw this come out. And everyone's like, that's not actually true. This is the real true story. I go, oh, okay. So, FYI.
The crowd's not going to treat her like a heel no matter what she does. It's the dumbest
thing.
I
know. It's stupid. It's stupid, stupid, stupid as hell. Plus, after you get done with Bianca, who else do you have on SmackDown? Carmella's a heel. You know, Bailey's a heel. Everybody else is a tag team or a heel. It's like, what the fuck? You know, there's Zelina Vega's a heel. It's like, what do you do?
You got three people hanging out in catering.
Yeah. Mia Yim? No. You know, Tony Storm, we brought you up and gave you a match or two matches. And no, it's just stupid. Let's move on.
Yes.
So we're still the same as we were. I got 4. Jamie's got 3. Megan's in at 2, even though she's eliminated. So next match was Drew McIntyre versus Jinder Mahal. Megan chose Jinder. Me and Jamie both chose Drew, and we chose correct because Drew McIntyre got that win. Planted his sword into, I don't know, whatever the fuck he plants it into.
Motorcycle?
I don't even know why this was a match.
So dumb.
I don't know. So after that, you had the Women's Raw Championship, okay? Nikki A.S.H., who is defending champion against Rhea Ripley and Charlotte Flair, because it's a thing. Now, myself and Megan both chose Charlotte Flair because we know what's going on with WWE, and you chose Rhea Ripley, which surprised the shit out of me. Which is clue number 2 that something was going on here, right?
I don't know what you mean. She's so over right now.
I know you don't. Here's the funny thing. So we have four matches left. Me and Jamie differ on every single one of these matches, right? Okay? Everyone. Charlotte got the win. Of course she did.
I'm so surprised.
Right? So she that's another title. That's a third title changing hands tonight, right? Okay, so Charlotte wins. JJ said it had a pretty 6-0 because I disqualified that whole, you know, Bianca Belair Becky Lynch thing, right? Mm-hmm. So I got 6-0 going. Perfect card right here. Jamie's still sitting on 4, and Megan's now up to 3. So final three matches, we have Edge versus Seth Rollins. Edge comes out into the Brood opening to start and then goes into his thing. Of all the matches from SummerSlam, I watched from here on, you know, because I tuned in about this time, you know, when I finally got done doing whatever I was doing, and I saw these last three matches. Went back and watched the two women's matches that pissed me off. I don't know why, but I did. So Edge was picked by myself and by Megan again. And then Jamie picked Rollins. It's a theme going here for the last couple matches. This is the best wrestling match of SummerSlam. I'm going to say that. Mm-hmm. I can't believe I'm saying that as an Edge match in 2021. But it was. Probably due to Seth Rollins. You know, he could put anybody over. I don't know. Edge is still talented enough. But at the end, Edge won. He won by submission, too, interestingly enough.
Yeah. Crossface. I mean, it's amazing that a 50-plus-year-old man got put over by a guy in his prime. Only WWE.
Only WWE. That's right. So, side note, we're not going to talk about Jericho's age. Next match.
He lost.
Was
he put over MJF.
He also was the inaugural champion. He beat Hangman Page, just say.
Yeah, I know. But then he lost.
Moving on. So you have Bobby Lashley next as the defending WWE champion going up against Goldberg. Goldberg. Megan and myself both picked Lashley, and then you picked Goldberg to win.
Sure did.
Which this really gave it away that something was up, right? Yeah. This is like, okay, something's definitely up here. Goldberg definitely did not win. This was a relatively short match. We had chosen short times. I chose 2:05. Jamie chose 2 minutes, but you changed your time to be lower than mine.
Sure did.
The original was higher.
Yep.
And then before the cutoff, you went back into it, which is totally legal. It's totally fine. Mm-hmm. We both have access to this document. I was trying to sandbag like hell, though. I definitely was. Megan chose like 6:02. It actually was a 7-minute match, 7:11. Goldberg did not become victorious. Lashley won. I should say, though, before that happened, and you've already seen it on the graphic up here. I forgot to mention it. But after the last match, after the Edge match, because Jamie and myself have all the different picks, it's mathematically impossible for him to win, too. So he had been eliminated. Mm-hmm. I forgot to make mention of it. You probably saw that little line up there through his name. But that's where we stand. So going into the last match, JJ's got a nice round 8. Jamie's still on 4. Still hanging out on 4. And Megan has 5. And the last match was Roman Reigns versus John Cena, which was a decent enough match. I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
It was paced pretty well. John Cena can always put on a good match. Roman Reigns, he's become a decent enough performer, right? You know, he's not the same old two-move thing, although he reverted back to a lot of that near the end of this match and ended up getting the victory. So Roman Reigns beat John Cena. That gives me a total of 9. Jamie's at 4. Megan's at 6. I am your new champion. I win the WWE toy belt, which I'm picking up when I pick you up to go to Chicago.
That's fair.
So it's my belt. Got down below there and by my name that the blank white space is finally being used on our template, which I'm happy for. And after the match, music hits. Brock Lesnar, ponytail Brock Lesnar shows up. You made a comment yesterday when we tried recording version 1. What was your comment about Brock Lesnar coming in?
Oh my God, it's Brock Lesnar. He's only been here. He's debuting for the 13th time. Wow, amazing. Yeah.
You called it counter-programming.
Oh, 100%. It was.
Yes.
He was counter-programming.
Becky was not. Becky was been around. She was coming back. Becky was
been around. She got moved up earlier, but there's Sasha Banks. Whatever. You know, that's not surprising.
As soon as CM Punk landed, and it was as big as it was, WWE counter-programmed with Brock Lesnar.
It looked like it, because he came in with jeans and a wife beater. He had a scruffy beard and his ponytail. It was like, okay, like they that's a different
flew
Brock.
Him in today because they got it figured out today. Like that's how.
It and felt. Maybe not. Maybe it's his look, but it definitely looked like that. So he showed up, stare down with Reigns. Mm-hmm. Then he murdered John Cena after SummerSlam went off the air, and that was your show. So
yay.
Good news is JJ's won a belt, so we're happy for that. No more goose egg. I got a one in my win column. Yes. It's the little thing.
And the thing is, you won that belt, but you did not take it off of Megan's waist.
That's okay. I prevented her from obtaining it.
Becoming the Grand Slam champion.
Absolutely.
For now. And
that's almost as good for me. It's like if Stephen Strange had succeeded in keeping the time stone away from Thanos, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still damage being done to the world, but he prevented it from being annihilated. That is what I have done, all you marks out there. I have prevented this wrestling world of our picks from being annihilated. So, that may be a big stream. I don't know. So that was Saturday. It was a Saturday paper SummerSlam for reasons, right?
Yeah.
Side note, Money in the Bank's going to be at that same stadium, at the Raider Stadium in like July or whatever.
Yeah, and there's no pyro allowed right in there right now.
It was weird. It was weird seeing some of them come out. Like Edge come out with no pyro was odd. He had smoke at least, but it was weird.
Yeah, that just doesn't make sense.
Let's talk about TakeOver. So TakeOver happened the next night here. This is a lot shorter TakeOver was. There was a total of 5 matches, okay? So it's not going to take us nearly as long, and the math's a lot less complicated for this because, spoiler alert, we differed on one match.
Yes.
So pretty much whoever won that match either went to the tiebreaker or won the whole thing. Our tiebreaker was the total time for the 2 out of 3 falls match with Adam Cole. We all shot high on this. You originally had 1 hour 52, which I thought you were drunk when you were writing that down. Megan had 1 hour and 5 minutes, and so I came in and I played my hand a little too early and too slickly. I came in at 1 hour 4 minutes 59 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to Price is Right her, but then there's still time on the clock, and you definitely came in after me to 1 hour 3 minutes. So, mean, it's like you're gonna play that. I didn't think about that. Hey, I still got plenty of time before this happens, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I should have thought about that. So, starts off with LA Knight versus Cameron Grimes for the $1 million title. Side note: If Cameron Grimes does become an official champion, as was said a long time ago, somebody on this program is going to buy a Cameron Grimes T-shirt and wear it on the air.
Yes,
I say that because Cameron Grimes one is your new $1 million champion. He is on the website. Go look it up. James got to buy a T-shirt, and I'm so happy.
Yeah, it's going to be a minute because I decided to buy that CM Punk shirt first.
It's fine. It's just fine. You don't have to do it like this second, but as long as you do
and
it.
I'm,
you
know, and I'm saving money
your
for
word,
all
I know you will.
Yes.
I know you will. All right. If you don't, we're going to, you know, verbal accosting shall happen.
Absolutely.
So, one title change hand. Next, we all picked Cameron Grimes, so easy peasy, point for everybody.
Yep.
Next one, we all picked the title change hands again. It is Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai, and we all picked Dakota. I think I picked with my heart.
I originally
not my
picked
head.
Raquel, then I changed it to Dakota at the last second.
Okay, all right. So you should have stuck with Raquel because she definitely retained that title. And
okay.
So we all took an L on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one was the best wrestling match of the weekend. I'm saying that right now.
Best wrestling match in WWE this year.
Yeah, this is a match of the year candidate for sure. Walter versus Ilya Dragunov 2 for the NXT UK title.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know it's been a long day for you, Jamie. Sorry. I'm sorry. We're almost done here, man. We Jamie and me both picked Walter. Megan picked Dragunov. And this match was just unbelievable. I mean, it felt like just an old-timey classic Clash of the Titans big, you know, marquee match. It really had that feel as they were going on. That I could be watching this in any generation, and it'd be one of those like seminal, you know, matches. Mm. I don't know if you seminal twice in this show, but bear with me, guys. It was. I loved every second of this, and I'm not necessarily the biggest strong style fan, right? I'm more of the flippy spinny shit. But oh my god, this match. I mean, sorry, Ilya's chest and neck looked like Tina after Ike got home from the bars one night. It was just rough. He got beat up.
It looked like raw hamburger. Not even kidding.
It was a thing. Walter's the king of the chops, and my god, they just tore each other apart. Walter was doing he went up and did like top rope moves. He did a big double drop kick thing, and then a frog splash. Mm-hmm. All the stops, both of them. And Ilya ended up getting the victory, got him to tap out, as a matter of fact. So he won. Megan got the point. Me and Jamie did not. It was unbelievable. But like I said, do yourself a favor. Everything that I just talked about with SummerSlam and everything else here for TakeOver, don't worry about. Go watch this match if you haven't watched any of this. This match is worth both these shows three times over.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
100%. It was amazing. It was an amazing match. And I do like strong style. And
this felt like a match that was up your alley for sure.
Yeah. It's like you're pulling up old school NWA Dusty Rhodes versus Ric Flair.
Flair Steamboat. Steamboat. Jim Cornette's hard on match.
Oh, yeah. It had that vibe. Like it could be in any time period. And it was
absolutely
perfect.
This could have been at the Garden in 1938, right? You know, yeah. This could have been at the Omni in the mid 80s. This was one of those matches, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so good, so good. Now, unfortunately, though, because of the way the picks went, it was at this moment that both myself and Jamie were eliminated.
Oh,
so we'll talk about that here when I finish with the show. But yeah, math. Put a line through it. So, Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, 2 out of 3 falls. Okay. We'll talk about Adam Cole in a second here. But this is this was his last match in NXT, for those of you who live under a rock. It's been basically confirmed almost immediately after the show, right? He had signed an extension to stay in NXT, and this is basically it. So, if you were picking anybody but Kyle, you were picking an L, and we all three picked Kyle to win this. Now, we use this, like I said, as our tiebreaker, and we were way off on the time. Like, way off.
Yeah.
First straight wrestling match was 3 minutes and 32 seconds.
Jesus. Yeah, that was...
It was quick! And then the second fall was probably the best fall. It was the street fight. And they went all out. There was a lockjaw that Adam Cole did on him. That was nice. Chair shots, trash cans, the whole nine yards. All the stuff that we love. It ended with... It wasn't a botch, but they made it look like it was a kind of funky thing where O'Reilly was on the top and he got kind of flung and spun over and landed in a weird angle on two steel chairs, put it back to back, like on the top of them there, and led to him getting Cole getting the pin. So the third fall was, of course, the steel cage. And the cage comes down, four comes down, Adam's beating him up, whatever, right? They finally get him in the ring, they start up, they go back and forth a little bit. Adam Cole pulls out handcuffs Kyle O'Reilly to one of the ropes. And this is the time where you're like, see ya, bitch, right? Mm-hmm. You walk across the ring, you walk up, and you go over the... You're, win, right? Done. No. He starts super kicking him. And on the third super kick, Kyle catches it, falls down, and with one hand, because the other one's in the handcuffs, does like a heel hook and gets Cole to tap out pretty quick. The total time was 25 minutes and 24 seconds. And it was not received well by the crowd. FYI.
Oh, I bet not.
for several different reasons, and we'll talk about that last one in a moment. So we all get the point on that, even though, like I said, me and Jamie eliminated. And then we end the night, Samoa Joe, Karrion Kross for the NXT title. We all picked Joe. Writing is on the wall. Karrion Kross, you know, was back on Raw the night after. A ridiculous gladiator outfit. He looked like somebody's mom was creating you a Halloween costume for Shredder based on incomplete images. Mm-hmm. And it was bad.
And all they had was like the red soft pad stuff. Like, you know?
Right. She could be gray. They only had red at the discount fabric store, right? So
that was terrible.
Karrion Kross, Samoa Joe, of course, won. He won, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So. Which means Megan with 4, me and Jamie both have 3. She is your retaining NXT champion.
No, she is not just your retaining.
Yeah, no, she is your retaining champion.
She is the raiding, defending.
She just defended. She's not defending right now.
Undisputed.
I dispute all
that. AEW Impact NXT pay-per-view champion, Megan Faulkner.
You look a lot better saying that with your Cameron Grimes t-shirt that'll be on the way soon.
You know, I did everything in my power to make sure that my champion won.
Hashtag not my champion. Yes, that was what I was getting at. You definitely threw your picks.
You know, we have officially became the corporation. I'm Vince. She's The Rock. The Rock wins.
Oh, that
the
makes
hardware.
Me that makes me Stone Cold then.
Sure.
I mean it does
because
you
got the WWE one. You might as well put an Attitude Era belt in there just to make it look better.
I'm gonna do it. I'm doing it. See it right now. Boom. Attitude Era.
Skull and crossbone. Get the smoky skull. The smoky skull. That's what you need if you can find it. But anyway,
Christ, how many, I got to edit this whole thing.
I sold out.
Whatever.
I sold out. If you can't beat him.
Definitely. You sold.
Join him. And I joined.
I'm so disappointed in you.
She's my blood. I can't turn my back on family.
I understand that.
Dominic Toretto told me that.
Family. That's all Dominic Toretto told you. All right. Be that as it may, Jamie has officially gone to the dark side and sold out. You're supposed to beat your child in submission until the time when they can do it on their own. And I hate to tell you, Jamie, she's been beating our ass already for years. You don't need to like just join in and like whimper down, man.
The Padawan has become the master, so I've bowed down to the master.
I hope she gets that scholarship to college because I can't wait for college to come.
Yes.
She'll lose interest in this and not participate in our picks. She probably won't. This is probably going to go on for eternity.
Yes.
One day, Megan. One day. I got one of the belts, so there's some demon qualities. Join us for our next belt is going to be for All Out. Now, Jamie and I are going to be there for it. We'll do picks before. We're going to do shut off time, you know, basically, you know, Friday, you know, as we leave, we'll do a shut off time. Where we can't edit afterwards because we're not going to be focused on that. We're not going to be doing any. We'll do a little bit of like some live stream on Twitter, a couple little things, you know. But we're not going to be, you know, we're going to be enjoying the weekend up there, okay, guys. Mm-hmm. So, but we will talk about it when we get back that following Tuesday. All right, real fast here because I want to spend just a couple minutes here because we talked about it briefly. Adam Cole wrestled his last match in NXT, more or less confirmed almost minutes after TakeOver was done, right? It was coming. We all knew this. Mm-hmm. That he signed an extension. His contract expired. He signed an extension to stay through this weekend, basically. And then he doesn't have a no-compete. He can go wherever he wants or re-sign. He had a pitch meeting with Vince, which apparently went well. Vince was high on him, which is surprising because he's short and he's under 6 foot and not very beefy. Be that as it may, Vince was high on him, basically offered him a sizable chunk of money and his pick of SmackDown, Raw, whatever. He had not signed that, from what I have been told, as of the recording of this episode. Even more, there are some conflicting reports coming out earlier today. Some people said that he was signed with AEW, and I'm like, whoa, not confirmed. Good. But both Fightful Select and then later PW Insider both came out, and they corroborated with each other to confirm that he technically is still under contract until the 27th, which is Friday. Rampage is being pre-taped this week. It's not live Rampage.
Yes.
So, if he does go to AEW, we won't see him this week. I have a thought on that. I'll be back there. He's still supposedly going to be pitched sometime this week. I'm guessing today. he's going to be pitched one final shot WWE is going to take, pitching him one more contract, is what I've heard. So that is what it is. As of Friday, he is going to be a free agent if he doesn't sign with WWE before then. He still potentially could sign afterwards, but the writing is very much on the wall for him to go to AEW. Jamie, thoughts?
Oh, 100%. Because like right after his match, the Young Bucks changed their bio and their picture. They changed their bio to seance, like a seance thing, like the top seances of bringing people back from the dead. Yeah, and then they had pictures of them in the Ghostbuster outfits from back in New Japan, which I thought was great as well.
That was fun.
But that's a call out because on BTE, Adam Cole was killed. Like he drank something and he died. So
they did old school. That's the way they wrote him off when he went to WWE.
Yeah.
It was just fantastic.
So clearly they're trying to talk to the dead now. Wink, wink, so, nudge, nudge. And then Britt Baker put a which I thought was great too. So writing's on the wall.
I mean, her boyfriend or fiance. Someone said they were engaged. I didn't catch that. But
I don't think so.
Potato, potato, close enough, right? Mm-hmm. You know, he better put a ring on it if he's smart. But it makes all sense in the world. His best friends are over there. His girlfriend, fiance, whatever. You know, girlfriend's over there. He gets the freedom to do outside stuff. He has said, he was on his Twitch this before TakeOver happened, so Thursday, Friday, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. He was saying, he was on his Twitch, he's doing a stream, and he said, I 100% guarantee you there is a 0% chance that I will be shutting down my Twitch. It will not happen. I will not be leaving. I'm with you guys, saying his Twitch community, every day for good, right? So there's that whole thing with WWE, right? And it's amazing that he's still been doing it through all this, mm-hmm. right? But he definitely got an exemption. And he's like, no, straight up, I am not going to be leaving my Twitch. So speculated that that meant that he's going to be going to you know, free agent in AEW. Here is, I agree with you on all those fronts. Here is my fantasy booking, and I'm giving it to you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he can't show up this week, and first of all, it's kind of like Walter talked about. You don't want to shoot your whole wad at once, right? You want to slow roll this stuff, which is why, you know, reportedly Brian Danielson's being held back to New York, right? You know, they're trying to slow roll that. And The Fiend, if he does come over, he'll probably be slow rolled back maybe to
full gear,
potentially, you know. So, but you don't want to load everything at once, right? Mm-hmm. So here's my thought. It's not good for him to come out this week anyway, too, because it's still CM Punk ether, right? It's still fresh in everyone's minds. He's doing his, you don't want to have him come out. I would bring him out, though. You don't think that the Christian Cage Kenny Omega match is going to happen at All Out. I'm convinced now, especially with CM Punk as your main headliner, which he is. He's in the center of the new poster, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is the Kenny Omega match,
which
and
sucks.
I think that it doesn't, because it ends that Kenny Omega wins thanks to a little interference by one Mr. Adam Cole jumping out from the crowd and causing Christian to lose.
I'd be good with that.
That's my fantasy booking prediction for Adam Cole showing up. I think that's going to happen.
I'd be cool with that.
I think it's good. I think it does good for Kenny Omega. It justifies that match, and it doesn't do anything bad for Christian Cage or the Impact title either, right?
Yeah, because then realistically, you could start a feud of Adam Cole and Christian Cage right away.
Absolutely.
And then reinsert the cowboy because he's been off TV for a while.
Right. I mean, yeah, he apparently has been off TV. He's taking, that's planned because of his wife being pregnant, by the way.
Oh, so maybe that's why they slow rolled everything now.
Yes. I was told that he had requested to have a few months off because he wanted to spend time with his wife while she was pregnant still and everything. So,
oh,
I don't know how far along she is. I don't know if she's getting ready. The baby's coming or if it's, I honestly do not know, but that's just the soundbite that I read, that that's why he hasn't been seen. So
interesting. Well, then that makes a lot of sense as to why the storyline right. changed so abruptly.
It does, right? It absolutely does. And so that's my fantasy booking. Give us a comment down below. What are you guys' fantasy bookings? Or do you think Adam Cole is going to stay in WWE? Please, God, no. Please, God, no. But just give us our comments. Give us a comment down below. Tell us what you think. Or give us a tweet at Total Spot Fest. Let us know how you would do this. Put him in AEW. Put him in Impact. Maybe have him go to New Japan. I don't know. There's options. Mm-hmm. It's going to be AEW. But there's options out there. So speaking of Adam Cole, I want to end on one thing. I saw a very poignant tweet tonight before we started recording. And it was a picture of a promo for a match. And it's our friend Adam Goldberg on Twitter. That's at Adam Goldberg 28. What's up, Adam? Give a shout out. He put the comment was, quote, a cursed match. And the picture was the promo picture for the inaugural NXT North American Championship ladder match from NXT TakeOver New Orleans. My favorite ladder match of all time. I know it's a newer one, but God. Yes, I'm putting that above Hardy's, Edge and Christian, and Dudley's. That's tough. But that was technically a TLC matches that they were in.
Mm-hmm. I'd put it above that.
So
wouldn't put it above Shawn and Razor, though.
I know you wouldn't. I personally would, just because of the bonkersness. This was, first of all, this is one of the best pay-per-views NXT's ever put together, right?
Mm-hmm.
This and Brooklyn, too, were the two best. This started the pay-per-view. But the comment was a cursed match, because to refresh everybody's memory, here are your entrants in that. Ricochet, right? Who's currently
buried,
but he's on TV though. He gets on TV. He squashed for Karrion Kross in his gladiator gear on Monday. But you have Ricochet, Killian Dane, EC3, Lars Sullivan, Velveteen Dream, Adam Cole.
All gone. The Ricochet.
Except for Ricochet, who's buried. It's like, and just think about that. And you know, this is kind of my sentiment to those who defend, you know, WWE's just insane booking philosophy and their talent management. Take out Lars Sullivan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because he's almost a Nazi, you know, pretty much. So mm-hmm. I just got Stephen Lynch's "I think you're a Nazi" in my head. But yeah, basically. And then Velveteen Dream was his own damn fault, right? Talent squandered, the whole situation, whatever. But at the time, he was the future of everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Killian Dane was a man whose talents didn't fit his body.
I agree with that statement. That's well said.
Oddity. Ricochet is a man whose talents don't fit anybody. It's just the craziness of it. EC3 held together at TNA when it was just terrible. And he's all the better for it. You know, he got all his crap, basically, of his character work out of the way when no one was watching and was never utilized properly. This was an introductory match in WWE, called up shortly thereafter, then immediately stuck under catering. And not even catering. He was jobbed left and right, like openly jobbed in the middle of a TV episode. Just
mm-hmm.
terrible what they did to him. And then Adam Cole, who carried this brand for all these years and is now going to be going away. But yeah, of that amazing match, one is left, and we all know Ricochet is not going to be there forever. Mm-mm. So
when his contract's up, he's gone.
Yeah, if he doesn't get cut next year. So
That's fair. Let's be Nick Collins cutting everybody.
It's amazing he lasted through this round of cuts. So very interesting. I just wanted to bring that up because the comments spoke to me. A cursed match, and it's like, you know what? Maybe you're not wrong there. So
it's a good take. I like that take.
Yep. So, all right. Well, I'm excited to see what happens. I want to see what happens tonight on Dynamite. So we will be back tomorrow. We're going to talk about Dynamite. We don't have anything else, really. We're just going to do a straight Dynamite show. We might play an impossible game. We might not. We're going to preview Journey Pro, though. We're going to talk about all the matches, give our thoughts on them a little bit more. So be on the lookout for that. Next Monday, like I said, we'll do a review of Journey Pro, and then we'll get back in the regular swing of things. Jamie, do you have anything else you wanted to add in there?
All I got to say is when you're a part of the Faulkner World Order, you're part of the Faulkner World Order.
All right. I am definitely not making that t-shirt. All right, guys. We do want to thank you for joining with us. We will see you next time. Jamie, take us
on. All right, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not down to Total Spot Fest, I have 3 letters and 1 hyphenated word.
Okay.
AEW, baby.
Stellar. See you next time, guys. Peace.